like when you build a brand or an online business, you have your target audience and you speak specifically to that audience. You also have that with tools. Each tool has a target audience. I think what you need to figure out is if you are that ideal client of that specific tool. Hey there, if you want to get into UX design, freelancing, or into any creative field, really, then you've come to the right place. I'm Sophia, nice to meet you, and in this podcast I share my own journey to becoming a UX freelancer. I share everything as I go through it, so you can learn from my mistakes and be inspired to keep going no matter what, because it will take a lot of hard work, but remember, we're in this together and we can grow much faster if we help each other out and learn from one another. I put out an episode every single Tuesday, and you can join the conversation on Instagram via the polls and the questions that I put out there. And now let's get into this week's episode. Hey guys, I can't believe it's been 1 month of podcasting. This was quite an achievement for me, since I've been really bad at consistency all my life, and now I'm finally getting better at it. So I thought I will give you an update about my journey, since this podcast is called The UX Journey. So if you just want to hear about what I have to say about design tools, then skip like 2 or 3 minutes ahead. So this month I achieved some of my goals and some I didn't. So I managed to put out a podcast episode every single week. That was a success. I didn't really post any content on Instagram, barely, and even less on LinkedIn. So that's something to work on in February. As for my UX course I'm taking, I managed to almost finish the lo-fi prototype. So a prototype that is just boxes and circles grayed out. It's just to know the function, how the app functions, and it will be a clickable prototype. I'm going to finish it today or tomorrow, so I can check that goal as accomplished, because I'm recording this at 30 of January, so tomorrow is 31, and it's last day of the month, so I will achieve that this month. And my financial goals, I did not achieve them at all. So I put up together a plan in the beginning of the year to little by little stop depending on my savings, because I'm now more or less depending on half the money I do from freelancing and half the money I have in savings to live. So I put together a plan and the goal for this month, because I knew it will be a slower month, because I was figuring out how I wanted to position myself and how I could improve my earnings as a freelancer. So the goal was 500 euros after taxes and expenses. So that is equivalent to around 830 euros. And I only got like 300 or 350. I'm not sure, because of the upward conversion. But yeah, I only did that. But I have projects in progress that are worth like 700 euros more. So I reached my goal in closed contracts, so in money that's there awaiting for the project to be completed, but I just didn't do that early enough to really get money in this month. So I'm on the right path. I just didn't manage to do it as quickly as I thought. So goals for February, so that I put them out there. And maybe I can inspire you to also set goals for yourself, but this is more like because I will be really embarrassed to come here and say that I didn't get anything done at the end of February. So I'm just going to put it out there. Financially, I just want to get those projects that I talked about done and close contracts worth of 1,000 euros more. That is a big goal for me, because I never have more than 1,000 euros revenue in one single month. So let's go for it. Then I want to finish the testing phase of the UX course and also the visual hi-fi prototype phase. Just finish it. Having a version of it, I may improve it in March because I want to put it in my portfolio, but just finishing that part of the course itself. I also want to keep putting out podcast episodes, of course, and start creating consistent content on Instagram and LinkedIn, 4 to 5 posts a week. On Instagram, I already have the brand identity and all the templates, so there are no excuses for me not to accomplish that this month. And I just need to transfer that to LinkedIn, do some changes just to be more professional, because on LinkedIn I want to focus more on clients, and on Instagram I want to focus more on you guys that listen to the podcast. So yeah, that's it for my goals. I hope I didn't bore you with this ramble, but yeah, I also didn't start that project, that small UX project I talked about. I think I talked about it, that the company paid me in advance in November because I already worked with them in another graphic design project, so they trusted me, but I didn't get the chance to have the meeting to discuss the user flow with them because they had a lot of changes and a lot of things going on. So yeah, I didn't get to do that. Still, there is a client that wants me to do an app for them, and he wants to start in a couple of months, so I will be able to finish the course until then, and I'll be able to do that. So all is going really well, and my hard work is paying off, and I'm really happy about it. So now let's get into design tools. I wanted to discuss this topic because nowadays there are a lot of design tools being developed and being put out there. And I guess for someone that is trying to get into design right now, it might be a little bit confusing which tool to learn first. I mean, if you go to design school, then you have that choice made for you usually, because teachers usually teach you a specific tool. In my case, it was Adobe, the Adobe Pack. But if you are self-taught or you want to self-teach design, then you might be undecided about which tool to try out first and which tool you should learn. So that's what I'm trying to answer with this episode. And also, if you are an experienced designer, you might be tempted sometimes by all the shiny new tools that come out. Depending on your personality, you might want to try them all, or you might be scared of if you are going to waste time while trying out a new tool and if you should just keep to your old tools that you know by heart and that you are really familiar with and you manage to optimize your workflow around them. So those are the two questions that I want to deconstruct today. And I also asked on Instagram some questions that some of you answered. So I'm going to also share your take on that. And I'm also going to share my opinion on if you really need to use paid tools and if you can be a professional designer with only free tools. Spoiler, yes, you can. So I'm going to start by talking about my experience using tools. So I'm just going to put something out there that some of you may find really shocking. I don't use Mac. I never use Mac. I have an iPhone, actually. And I kind of like it. I mean, I bought it reconditioned, so I didn't pay full price for it. I paid like half the price. I wouldn't have gotten it any other way. But I always used Windows, and I don't think I will ever get a Mac. It just doesn't make sense to me to pay double price for the same specs just to have a little more intuitive interface for design. Yeah, sometimes Adobe crashes on me, it's true, but it doesn't annoy me that much to get a Mac. Just putting it out there, I'm not going to talk a lot about this because it's more related to your equipment and your tech stuff and not to design tools. So I only tried proper design tools in high school. Before my senior year in high school, I just used Publisher and PowerPoint to do like posters and stuff like that. And let me correct what I said. I'm not saying that PowerPoint is not a proper design tool, because I still use PowerPoint to do presentations. I only start using Adobe, let's say it like that, on senior year in high school, and the teachers really didn't know how to teach it. It was a very bad experience. Then in my graphic design degree, I used Adobe a lot. It was what the teachers recommended and what they taught in class. But at first, in the first semester, and in some classes, in the second semester and the second year as well, I was forced to use manual tools. So pencils, pens, brushes, paints, all of that. Even though I studied at a polytechnical institute, so usually those are more practical and more up-to-date than universities. I'm saying this in general and in Portugal, okay? I'm generalizing. I'm sure there are a lot of universities that are really modern, but in general, this is what happens, at least in the public side of things. I was really involved with the engineering and tech part because usually you have a separate campus for arts, and then you join fine arts and design all in the same space, but I was in the same building as the engineering classes. So we were really immersed in that tech world, and it allowed for a lot of design innovation to happen. So I'm very glad for it. But even with that, I still use manual tools for a lot of time. I think teachers do that because they want you to understand that the tool isn't going to do anything for you. You need to understand how shapes work and how type works and how to draw without a digital tool for you to know how to use the digital tool. You might not be able to do like really straight lines on a paper or really draw realistic stuff, but it helps you understand how shapes work and all of that. So I was never very good at drawing on paper, but I agree that it helps you develop those things, and it helps you also put out ideas out of your brain faster. That said, I don't see anything wrong in just using digital tools. You do what works best for you, and I think teachers forcing you to do that, I think that may be asking for a change. That's just my opinion. So this leads me to how to choose the tool to learn, what to take into account. And I think the most important things to take into account are the things that differentiate paper and pen and other manual tools from digital tools. And in my opinion, those are three things. One, the features available. You have all the features available at the distance of one or two clicks, while on paper you need to get a lot of different tools to do all of that. The other thing is the most important thing is the efficiency. So how efficiently you can use the tool and iterate. On paper, it's very difficult to change things, to erase and do it again. On digital tools, at least on good digital tools, you have that easiness of iteration and changing things quickly. You don't have to compromise with a specific idea or a specific color because you can easily change it. And I think that is the most important thing in a tool, is efficiency. Another important thing, at least for me, is collaboration, especially if you work in a team, because you want to be able, especially if you work in a remote team, because you can still collaborate easily with people that are in the same physical space as you, regardless of what tool you use. But when you are working remotely, then having a tool that allows you to collaborate live with your team members, that's really life-saving. Even with collaborating with clients, I love that Figma, for instance, allows you to send a link for a client to view, and the client can view your prototype in the spot. I believe Adobe XD also allows you to do that. But it will be really nice for like Photoshop or Illustrator to allow to do that, so that you wouldn't have to always be exporting the work to send it to the client. I think that would be a really good addition. So I think the only other thing I can think that you may want to take into account while choosing a tool is what is the final use you are going to give the design. For instance, if you want to print something, if you want to create a logo that needs to work both on the web, an A4 paper, on a business card, or on an outdoor, you should use a tool that allows for creation of scalable shapes, so vector shapes. For instance, Photoshop now actually allows you to create vector shapes, but the program still works in pixels. So it's kind of confusing for me where Photoshop is right now, because you can redimension it, but to do some things you need to rasterize the shapes and they become pixels. So Photoshop is really not good for print design or for creating logos that need to be scalable. On the other hand, if you need to edit photos in a really detailed manner, then Photoshop is the way to go. The same way, if you need to create content for social media that is only going to live on social media, then Photoshop might be quicker for you to do that than, for instance, Illustrator or InDesign. So it all depends on what you're going to do in design. What projects are you going to work on the most? If you are only doing UX design, then maybe you only need Figma. You may not need Adobe at all. Or maybe you could use Adobe XD because I think it's free. I think it's still free. I'm not sure. It all depends. If you are working with magazines or you are doing large publications that have a lot of pages, then InDesign might be a very good investment for you because it has functionalities like features like automatically putting the page number, the correct page number in each page, or creating page templates that you can use, also creating paragraph styles so that you can update all headlines with one click and all body text with one click. So it has a lot of features that are specifically made for large publications. I think actually this is the biggest aspect to take into account. It's what are you going to use the tool for? There is not a better tool or a worse tool in general. Each tool is better for a specific kind of person. Like when you build a brand or an online business, you have your target audience and you speak specifically to that audience. You also have that with tools. Each tool has a target audience. I think what you need to figure out is if you are that ideal client of that specific tool. There should be like a Tinder for designers and tools, like that matches your each designer with the tool that they are that is best built for that specific designer. That is a really good idea. Someone should pick that up and create that. So yeah, each tool in its box. And now I'm going to read some of the things that you shared with me in Instagram about this topic. I mean, not about this topic, about the next topic, that is, if you are an experienced designer or if you have been designing for a while and you already know how to use a tool, when should you try out a new tool? You see all those shiny tools looking at you, all those ads about this great new tool that is going to really optimize your process and make you the Speedy Gonzalez of designers. I'm not sure if everyone will get this joke. I don't know if this is limited to my country. I hope not. So I asked you if you often try new design tools. 2/3 of you said, yeah, I often try new design tools. That's awesome. And 1/3 of you said, not really. And I guess that's okay too, because if you are really happy with your tools that you use right now and you don't have any reason to want to optimize your process more, it's really the best choice to avoid all those shiny new tools that are around on the internet looking at you. I guess it all depends on how your current process is and what can you accomplish with the tools that you are using right now. And I also asked you what makes you want to try out a new tool. Some of the things that you shared were efficiency. Efficiency is, I think, the most important thing to take into account, as I said. Price. So price is also, and I think price is really related with efficiency, because if a tool costs $50 a month, but with that tool you will be able to save yourself the hours that are equivalent to those 50 hours a month, $50 a month, then it's totally worth to invest in that tool, right? I think efficiency and price are really related. And you also said learning curve. Yeah, that's a very important thing to take into account, because if the learning curve is really big, then is the time you are going to spend learning that tool worth it? Are you going to make up for it with optimizing with the optimization in your process that that tool is going to help you accomplish? Are you going to stop paying as much for a tool? For example, if you are switching from Adobe to another tool, is that going to make up for it financially for the time that you are going to spend learning that tool? I think efficiency, price and learning curve are really good criteria to use. And other things that some of you shared were options and variety. I'm guessing you are talking about the variety of features that you have available on one single tool so that you don't have to always be switching. That is also an aspect that really influences your efficiency. So you don't have to always be opening new software and exporting things from one to import into the other. And it gets your process gets really split, like you don't have a fluid workflow. And the last thing that you shared was the opportunity to try new stuff. And I think this is also a very good reason for trying out a new tool, because you might be comfortable with the tool that you use right now, but you might be bored with it, and you might be tempted to try out new stuff, and a new tool can make you learn how to do, can help you learn how to do your work in a new way, or even learn how to do different kinds of work. So I think that is a very good reason to try out something new, and a reason that actually makes me want to try out new tools. Because when I tried Figma, I was actually, oh, I want to learn more about designing apps and websites and all of that. And that's why I tried it. And it ended up being really useful later. But at that time, when I tried it the first time, I didn't really have the need for it. I just wanted to learn new stuff. So yeah, and I want to add some things here. Something that makes me try out new tools the most is if it solves an annoying problem that I'm having with my current tools. Like if I'm having some kind of problem that is interrupting my workflow, and it always happens or almost always happens, then that's something that I can, if I can remove it, I will save a lot of time over the years. So in that case, I always try to find something that will let me do that work without stopping so much. So an example of this is using Photoshop for social media, or Illustrator, using Adobe in general, or using Canva, because something that was stopping me from creating content was the time that I had free to create content. I was either not on my PC, I was like on the train or on the bus, on the line to get something, or I was just, I just didn't want to wait for Photoshop to open and having to search in the layers for the template that I wanted. And Canva makes that so much easier. It makes the entry barrier so low that I just pick up my phone and I create a post on there on a template that I have. That is life-saving. Another thing that makes me want to try new tools is if I'm seeing a lot of, for instance, YouTubers, designer YouTubers using it, that means that the tool is getting traction, and it's probably for a reason. So if I see it's getting used by many great designers and I'm hearing very good things about it and I'm seeing it popping up everywhere online, then that is a very good indicator that it's a tool worth trying. Of course, if you are, like I said, the target audience of that tool. If a tool is built for a specific use that makes up a big part of your workload, if you work almost completely only with social media, then probably Canva, that is built for exactly for you, it's a good investment. As well as Adobe now has, I think it's called Adobe Express, that wants to be a more professional Canva, I think. That might be a good investment too. I'm really sad that it isn't included in the Adobe Pack, because if I'm paying $50 a month for the Adobe Pack, I wanted Adobe Express too. I'm kind of upset with Adobe about that. Anyway, let's move on from my frustrated ramble. And another thing, yeah, I think the only thing I have left to add is that if your team wants to try a new tool, then you should probably also try to learn it, because it makes collaboration much easier. And yeah, I think that's it. I just want to share some good switches, the best switches, tool switches that I made, and also the ones that you shared with me. So the biggest of all was Photoshop to Figma for designing websites, because Photoshop is not really for designing websites. But on design school, I had to design a landing page as part of a branding project, and they just told me to use Photoshop. And I mean, it's so outdated for... There are so many tools, and there were tools for web design already out at that time, because I mean, I'm not that old, I'm 24 now, so it wasn't it wasn't a long time ago. But yeah, they told me to use Photoshop, and when I discovered Figma, when I was in my internship, it was mind-blowing. How is there a free tool that does all of that? And there is also Adobe XD, but at the time when I started using Figma, it was only available for Mac or for the latest version of Windows, and I didn't have that, so I started using Figma. That's why I didn't use Adobe XD. Another great switch that I made, and this was a forced switch, because I was working with an agency on Upwork, and they used InDesign for everything, so I had to use InDesign for everything. And that was the Adobe software that I most hated at the time, because it's the more complicated to use, I guess. And I didn't really know how to use it unless it was for big publications like magazines and stuff. I learned that at university, but I didn't know how to use it for normal stuff, like normal stuff that I do, because I don't usually do magazines or any work of that sort. So I started using it for flyers, brochures, etc. And there were some that I don't really want to use InDesign to create them, because they have a lot of vector drawing, illustrations and stuff that I really need to create on Illustrator. And it's very annoying to always be importing things from Illustrator to InDesign. So it was very annoying, but some things InDesign has actually really improved my process. For example, creating flyers and brochures where there are not a lot of illustrations, so only images and text. It's much easier to change images and to create text styles, so I can change them easily. And also creating stylescapes for my brand identity process that I always create in the beginning. So it's like mood boards or visual boards, or however you want to call it, and I just want to be able to switch images fast, and on InDesign you just have to drag them on top and they just switch, so it's really easy. The other very good switch that I made was from Photoshop to Canva for social media, as I already said some minutes ago, so I'm not going to repeat myself. All of you that answered my question in Instagram said Figma, so, and with a lot of smiley faces and hearts, so I'm guessing everyone that answered my poll loves Figma. A lot of people is using it in the web design, UX design world, so that's a good indicator that is a very good tool for you to try if you are into UX design or web design. The last thing I want to talk to you about is if paid tools are worth it and if you really need them. And I created a poll on Instagram where I asked if you use paid design tools, and most of you said not really. So yeah, you can do design without paid tools. For instance, if you only do social media, then you can totally get along with only Canva. If you are into UX design and web design, you can get that done with only Figma, with only the free version of Figma. And Adobe XD, I think it's free as well. At least it was. I'm not sure if it is still. And also, if you don't do anything like creating logos or editing pictures like in detail, if you do really generic graphic design work like doing slide decks, social media posts, website design, if you do like really general stuff and you are starting out and you don't want to invest in paid tools, then Figma can actually help you with all of that, because you can create vector drawings as well. It's not as intuitive as Illustrator, but it can totally do it. You can create almost anything in Figma, so it's a very good tool if you are starting out and don't want to invest in any paid one. So when is it worth it to invest in a paid tool? I guess it's only worth it if it makes up for it with efficiency gains. So what do I mean by that? If you, for instance, invest in the Adobe pack and you pay $50 per month, and you are getting those $50 per month back with like 3, 4, 5 hours that you save in time that you spend on your work because of the efficiency that the tool gives you, then it's worth that investment, because you are gaining that back, you are gaining time back. And time is actually more valuable than money, because you can use it for whatever you want. And it's limited. You have limited time in your life. And money, it's not really limited. So if that tool buys you back time, enough time to make up for the investment that you make on it, then go for it. It's the best investment you are going to make in your design career. On the other hand, if you really don't gain that much time, if you can find a free tool that does the job exactly or in a similar way as that paid tool, then go for the free tool because it doesn't make you less of a designer. You can also try to get those access to those paid tools by via an education license. A lot of universities give those to you, access to the paid tools for free. The UX design course that I'm taking also gives you a free license to the pro version of Figma. So that's also something that you might want to look into. The main thing that I want you to get from this is that the right tools won't make you a great designer. It isn't the tools that make you a designer. And it's also not because you use Canva or the free version of Figma or another tool that isn't quote-unquote professional. It doesn't make you less of a designer. You use the tools that are best for you. I use the free version of Canva to create social media posts, and it doesn't make me less of a designer because I know how to use the basic principles of design, of type, of colors, of layout, of hierarchy. I don't know how to say that word. I know the design principles, so I can make any tool work in my favor. I'm pretty sure I could create some design on Paint. It might take me a while, but I'm probably able to do it. This to say that there are a lot more things that you should focus on at first than choosing a tool. Choosing a tool is important, it has its place, but there's a lot more stuff to focus on before trying all those shiny new tools that are coming out. Okay? You have more important things to focus on your design career by far. So I hope this helped you guys make a decision about which tool to try. The advice I can give you is just search online for designer YouTubers using it. Search for YouTube tutorials so you can see someone else that is experienced using it. So you can see the full potential of that tool. Because if you try to use it yourself and you don't know what you're doing, then you might not know how to use that full potential of that tool. And yeah, I guess that's all I wanted to share. I hope this episode didn't get too long. And if you are enjoying this podcast, please write me a review on... Actually, Apple Podcasts lets you really write a review, your feedback. So I really like to hear it. And feel free to share this episode with a friend that's maybe starting out in design and is confused by all the shiny tools out there. And if you have a suggestion of a topic that you would like me to cover or a question that you'd like to hear my take on, then send me a message on Instagram. The link is in the podcast description. And there you can also join the conversation by answering the polls and questions that I put out before recording each episode. Have a nice week and see you in the next one.